We'll call the meeting to order. I hear the discussion remorse about, what was it, Jim? The, what was the musical group today that you were talking about?
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Okay, yeah, I heard that on the news this morning.
Moment of silence.
Yeah, moment of silence, right.
Sorry.
Roll call. We have one of our youth and governance here. We have, let's see, one, two, three, four, five. The committee is here. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. That would be for the September meeting. And we'll have that in their packet. Anybody have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the September meeting. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
Thank you. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. The couple comments I might have are one. I was going to wait probably until tomorrow evening, but there's something that's been disturbing me at county board meetings, and I'm not the only one. The attire. I know that it may sound silly to some of you sitting here. Some of you are new. Doesn't make a lick of difference to you, but coming from 20 years back on the county board, the chambers, the feeling that the people have for their elected officials, and the feeling that you have for the position that you sit in. I'm going to say this committee level. I'm going to say it at the county board tomorrow. Also, I'm very disappointed in the way people are dressing at meetings. I lay brick sometimes in 95 degree weather, rush home, take a shower, put on a suit, get to my meeting, represent the people that have elected me, and give it the proper distinction that the position should have. I walked into a meeting a month ago, and there was five members walking in golf shirts. And I said something outside about that, and one of them laughingly said, "Well, you should be happier, Chairman of the Golf. Everybody's dressed in golf shirts here." And I said, "You look like slobs," and I meant it. I'm talking to the county executive about it. He said, "Yeah, things have, the quorum has gone way down." But I thought I'd mention it tonight to this group. I'm going to mention it to the full county board. It's disturbing to some of us that have been there for a long time. And it should be disturbing to people that are newly elected. It should be disturbing to the people that have elected you to walk in. And I'm sitting here tonight, my blue jeans and shirt. This is a committee meeting for the Highway and Parks. County board meeting is totally different in my mind. I wanted to mention that tonight. It's been on my mind for the last 3 or 4 months, especially since the new board has taken place or taken their seats. There seems like a real complacency and decorum. So that's my only comments this evening. Any committee members? Yes?
I just wanted to let you guys know, I've been doing doors out by Highway H, and everyone has just been raving over how it looks, how the fact the speed limit has gone down. I've gotten nothing but compliments, and I've knocked out probably 50 doors out in that area.
Any other committee members? If not, we'll move on. Jeff?
Yeah, I just want to thank John Rudy and the other parks employees that worked at the Oktoberfest there in Paddock Lake. They worked their tails off, and we had a great time there. Thanks to you guys.
Youth and governance, anything from you?
No.
All right, if not, we'll move on to highways. Gary, you're first tonight.
A few updates tonight. Trial four-way stop signs that were installed on Highway C and Highway H in the village of Pleasant Prairie. Village has asked for the month of October. They are going to request public input on the effectiveness of those four-way stops. So it will be probably at least the 1st of November, if not the 1st of December, before I would come back to the committee with a recommendation.
Did you mean Bain Station and H or C and H?
Both.
But I thought we had the roundabout on C and H.
Oh, I'm sorry. H and Bain Station,
okay.
And C and Bain Station.
Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. They're gonna collect public input. The last time I looked, they had about 195 people respond to their request for information. So it seems like they're being successful in getting some public input, and they're gonna tally up the results. That is not the only criteria we would use, of course, but it's certainly something that we would take under consideration. So possibly November, more likely December, I'll be coming back with a recommendation on those intersections. Update on a couple of the railroad crossings that the committee and the county board has taken action on. The Highway S UP railroad crossing that is in need of repair. I spoke directly to the commissioner of railroad in Madison about that crossing, and he asked for the opportunity to work directly with the railroad himself to get the repair done. If he's not successful, then we'll have to go to a hearing, and he will issue the order to the railroad. I'm not quite sure why he asked for that opportunity, but he did say that he wanted to at least try to work directly with the railroad on that one. Not so much progress on the Highway 50 UP railroad crossing, which is in need of repair. Both the Commissioner of Railroad and myself and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have attempted to work directly with the railroad. We've been unsuccessful, so there will be a hearing conducted on November 19th, at which time we will provide testimony to the Commissioner of Railroads, and hopefully he will at that time force the railroad to immediately do the repairs. So it's a difficult, long, drawn out process trying to get these crossings repaired, and some railroad are more cooperative than others. Unfortunately, in both of these cases that I'm talking about tonight, they've been very uncooperative, but there are guidelines that we must follow according to Wisconsin statutes, and that's what we're doing. Lastly, I handed out some information about a public informational meeting that's occurring on two projects. One project's relatively small, the other one's relatively large. One is at the highway intersection of Highway 50 and 83 at Brass Ball Corners, where the DOT is going to do some additional work with the pedestrian crossings associated with the village and the high school, and some improvements they're going to do at the intersection to accommodate the pedestrian crossings. And then the larger project is at the intersection of 83 and Highway C, where they're going to be completely reconstructing that intersection, and they're looking at to get some public input on both of those projects. The intersection at Highway 83 and C is being done to address a pretty severe crash problem they have Not quite sure why the crashes are occurring. The DOT's not quite sure why the crashes are occurring, but they've been consistent and fairly severe. There, you know, a lot of the right angle type crashes. So the improvements safety improvements proposed, probably a couple of years out yet, but they are having the public involvement meeting on October 23rd, so I just wanted to make sure you are aware of those projects and that meeting is coming up. And that was all I had for tonight.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions for Gary?
Question. Yes. We're talking about the highway S project for the rail crossing. That's with UP?
Correct.
Okay. The one that's Highway 50, I thought those were all elevated.
This one is the one by Cooper Road.
Oh, the spur.
The spur, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's been very bad. I've been working with the Department of Transportation because it's a state highway, but we thought earlier this summer that the UP was on board with coming in and doing the repairs, and they just for whatever reason became uncooperative, and now we're going to go to the hearing.
All right, thank you.
Anything else for Greg? Supervisor Kowalski?
On the highway, yes, you mentioned that the commissioner wanted some time. How much time does he want now to speak with the railroad?
I spoke to him about it last week. I'm going to get a hold of him like tomorrow again and find out the update. It's 1 week is good because we're running out of time for this year to get repairs done, and I can't wait forever. So
it's almost like we have to pass these resolutions now even before they get bad. So when they do get bad, we actually get some activity.
It almost is that. I mean, the procedure is long and drawn out, but unfortunately, it's the state statutes that provide the guidance for us, and we have to follow them.
I just don't want to give another month or something.
No,
I think you said
no.
Okay.
We won't do that.
Anything else for Gary? Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you.
John, we'll do Parks next.
For the Primo Nature Center, we had the Fall Fun Fest International Migratory Bird Day celebration out there, and the highlight really was the hawk and the owl that we had a falconer bring out for the public so they could get up close to one and ask questions. They did a lot of things. They tagged butterflies and let them go. There was food, pumpkin painting, tons of things for the kids. That went off really well. I did attach. Usually when they send me their financials and their minutes and everything, I get a big bunch, so you guys got those as well if you care to look through them. Katy Park, the Phragmites, I know right after Labor Day, if you went over there, you could pretty much see they got pretty good coverage with 8 acres they did spray around the lake. Now they'll be back again next year to spray that again. And then after that point, we'll have to work it up and get it reseeded into something else. The Old Settlers Oktoberfest was a pretty good success again this year. We did have the Little Miss Edelweiss pageant, which was kind of nice too. I did attach a few pictures of that as well. Saturday, we had the Fall Wheel Ride. I still think we had about 65 runners all together in the race, and we probably had about 50 or 55 people riding their bikes out from the city of Kenosha. The weather was a little cold, but we had a really good turnout. We get to our project list. Kemper Center, the parking lot reconstruction and 66th Street renovation and the lighting. The one issue we have with the city yet that we're hung up on is we still don't have approval for the historic lights that we're looking at using down there because they're not full cut off. There is a little bit of light pollution from them. There's no light fixtures out there that are historic that comply with that. The other thing is too is Payne and Dolan had asked us if we would consider delaying until next year because they can't get enough trucks to do the projects they're doing right now. So based on you know, not having approval for the lights and where we're at now would never make the window where the Hayden Dolan has shut down the hot mix plant, and we don't want to go through the winter with a gravel parking lot over there. Brightondale lift station replacement, purchasing bid that out, and we actually, because everybody's got so much work because of the late spring this year, the purchasing added in for a May completion date in 2015, and we did get a bidder, and it is substantial savings because of that. Kemper Pier removal, again, the pier is gone, and we asked the contractor to come down and finish removing. There's about 4-foot stubs of the legs sticking out of the lake, and we asked them to come back and get those out before winter. The re-roof for the Fox River storage building, that purchasing is working on. I think that'll go out. That's good. They're going to quote that because it's under the bid threshold. I think Dave will have that out shortly.
It's supposed to go out this week.
Emerald ashbore removal, we're working with purchasing on that. The consultant finished the bid specs, and I know Carol's working hard on those specs. Their bids.
In your email tonight for you to look at.
Yeah, I know you did them. I just couldn't read them in an iPhone. So that should be happening pretty quick. We have a walkthrough or a pre-bid on the 20th?
20th.
And then the bids are due the 24th?
Yes.
Okay. Silver Lake Disc Golf Course, we opened that front nine of the Silver Fox on August 29th. And I think I told you guys that last time. The Silver Lake Mountain Bike Trail, the volunteers have over 4.5 miles completed, and they're starting work on what they call their expert section, which is a little bit higher skill level to ride on. They have three big work days planned, I think the 12th, the 19th, and another one, but they're all in October here. And I know they're working at getting big crews of at least 20 people, because they feel that they can do 2-3 miles in one day if they have enough help. They've got through the worst brushing now. It's fairly easy traveling where they're going. It's not so much cutting down buckthorn and honeysuckle and everything else to make progress. The Ho-Chunk property, haven't heard a peep on that from the Ho-Chunk Nation's attorney. And I think that's about all I have.
Do we expect to hear anything from the Ho-Chunks?
Yeah, they were supposed to give us a written lease for us to look at for that property. I don't expect that we would take them up on it, just based on, I think it's going to be the same as they offered the town of Summers. They want us to take care of it and clean it up and pay the taxes. So it's really, you know, unless they come up with something that works towards our favor, I don't think we'll do it.
Yes, Supervisor Brady.
Your comments about Kemp brought to mind the devastation that happened down the Silver Reserve with the windstorm. All the trees that fell down and blew down and so forth. And we at that time had talked about having a proper arborist type plan for any replacement trees that might go into the Kemp area. What if we came to that? How far along are we? Do you get an idea or what we're doing?
We worked on a plan for down there, but we didn't want anything planted until this project is completed. So there were species selected, but not sites, exact sites. We thought we'd wait until this parking lot was done, because we did remove trees, and it'll have to be landscaped back up after we're finished.
So we're looking at now probably spring of 2015 at least,
yeah,
to finish that up.
Yeah.
And how do we handle it? Do we actually have an arborist consult with us, or in-house, or how do we?
Barb Larson from UWI Center.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The actual, how this is going to work, it came from this committee.
Right.
Was that we did not want haphazardly the Kemper Center just planting trees. So anything that's submitted has to go through John, and then he consults this committee. And it's not that it has to be solved by 2015.
Right.
That's, you know.
But if I recall, the issue was when we had that big blowdown, there were so many different species there, many of them non-native to the area, that we didn't want to recreate that type of situation again. Is that my...
That and the original architect for that property, going back to the 1800s, we wanted to try to keep it historically also. And that and the fact that there was haphazard planting by people that just donated, and everybody was happy with that, naturally, but we wanted to have some control. And John's got the control now. So nothing can be planned out there without John's approval. Anything else for John?
Any idea who that guy is, John? Any of his?
They catch me every year over there.
He's a happy looking guy there.
That's my payoff for a lot of that event.
I think I saw one in a printed copy of that.
Yeah.
When you bend them up.
It's one of your tougher assignments, I can say.
That one?
Yeah. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess that's tradition now for some reason. I don't mind.
Thanks, John. We'll move on to Dan. Golf.
Well, I'm happy to report that our PGA Junior League All-Star team, we went down to Chicago, and we were the state champs here in Wisconsin, and we represented Wisconsin well. Although we did not advance to the Nationals, we took second place. The team of Iowa advanced, and they had 20.5 points, and we had 19.5 points. And actually, when we played them head to head, we each tied at 6 points. So it was really a great weekend down there in Cog Hill and Chicago, and they played hard and just came up one point short. So that was a lot of fun. The golf courses are really receiving outstanding reviews. I mean, so many people still, even today, you know, they give you guys kudos for reinvesting into our asset there. They you know, tell me all the time how great the golf course conditions are. So it's really good to hear. you know, we're still down in rounds and revenue, and it, you know, as you know, it's just the weather has been affecting it, you know, just bad timing on the weekends and that type of thing. But when it's nice, we're busy. So we're ahead of pace on merchandise and season pass sales, but we're down in rounds and revenue right now. Although our current database is up to 13,500 people, so every time we send out an email blast, we not only hit you guys and all the county employees, and that's another how many hundreds of people, but we also have 13,500 people that we're email blasting to. Our next big events is the Halloween Horror. We have that grown to 2 days now. It's been so popular. We have about 110 to 120 people per day. That'll be October 25th and 6th. And then we have the Brightondale Open, which will be November 1st. And that usually we get about 75 people there. So projects that we're working on, we did complete the core aerification on the Red Pines, and that is all healed up now. It's really putting well again. Petrifying Springs we did last week. We did on Monday and Tuesday, finished up Wednesday. So hopefully a couple weeks, if we get some temperature and still some growth, those will be healed up. And we did the Blue Spruce today and the front nine, and tomorrow we're doing the back nine. We're also doing some paving out there. We finished the white birch hole number 17. That's the last of the white that needs to be paved. And we're also putting a little extension on the cart path right by the clubhouse for staging our carts on. That'll give us better ability to stage carts for both golf outings and daily play. We'll be a lot more organized because of that. But overall, the last 3 months have been extremely busy when the weather has been nice, you know, but hasn't been as often as we would like. You know, hopefully we got an excellent fall season coming, you know, the weather forecast isn't great, but hopefully things turn around, we get some Indian summer, and, you know, a lot of positive things still happening at the golf courses, so.
Thanks, Dan. Mm-hmm. I know you probably had a good September.
It was okay, you know. Last year, September, we had Sunday, Monday of Labor Day weekend in the month. This year, we only had Monday, and right. And that was down a little bit from last year because the weather wasn't that great on that Monday. So.
Thank you for your report. Any questions for Dan? If not, thank you, Dan. We'll move on to Frank.
Mr. Chairman, start off at the tower. Just kind of a recap, the July 14th, 15th, we moved all the radios over. August 27th, we moved the microwave dish and installed it and connected it with the PSB. Good news to report, we were able to bring that microwave signal up to acceptable levels, and I was able to get it done under warranty. The adjustments, things like that, so that was a no cost. IT is still walking through its pieces and parts to see where the fiber signal is lacking, so, but they're working on that. Any questions on the tower? Moving on to the KCDC HVAC controls project, great news there. Finally got all 14 of the HVAC units transferred over to the digital controls there. So that's a rather large facility, and that should help with our electrical costs. That was really the big part of that. As part of that project, we started to find that these VAV boxes, at this 20-year mark, they were starting to fail. So as we've talked about before, they've been, the crew there has been taking it on themselves, fixing them and setting aside time, and they're up to 34 out of 51 of them. So that's where they are at this point. But the VAVs were kind of a secondary story to the changing over or bringing all the HVAC units on the digital controls. Having said that, now that we do have that, all of them will cut over to digital controls, as the chairman, if you still want this item on the agenda.
What, you mean the restoration project?
No, the HV, the KC.
I don't think we need that anymore, no.
Nope. Okay. I know they'll continue with, under Mike's direction, to start to chip away at those VAV boxes. Going to the KCAB restoration, so far, knock on wood, we're on schedule and on budget. The stonework on the east and south sides of the building are complete. If you guys have had a chance to go down there, all of the stones that we removed, and it was quite extensive, all the limestone, has all been replaced and is in. Along the base of the building on the east and south sides, they used to have terracotta panels. They're about this high, kind of a blackish, kind of green, green dots on it. The reason they did terracotta back then was they were trying to emulate granite. They just didn't have the money for it. And those terracotta panels have taken a beating over the years. So we appealed to the State Historical Society, and they agreed to let us replace it with granite, which will hold up beautifully for years and years and years against salt and snow plowing. So if you get a chance, please take a look at the granite that lines the bottom. It'll serve us very well for the years going forward. The scaffolding has all been taken down on the all around the building, with the stone being completed. The old HVAC units have been removed. We had to wait as long as we could for the cooler weather to come in. So the Queen Mary in back is no longer squealing. And Rhonda says, how's she going to know if the new unit's working or not if it's not squealing? So we'll have to get used to a different way of determining how that's being done. So yes, the Queen Mary, and then the rooftop unit up on the chambers has also been taken off so that the roofing can start. So tomorrow night they're going to have the windows and fans open as best they can, but it might be a little warmer than usual up there, county board chambers, because of the HVAC. Having stated that, the roofing started, the final northeast excavation has started. We had to wait for the northeast corner of the building because the big transformer and the Queen Mary were there. We couldn't take down we delayed taking down the Queen Mary as late as we could in the cooling season, and the transformer was no small feat. We actually worked with We Energies and minimized costs instead of doing it a shutdown twice. We did it once and moved the transformer a little further away from the building. So we saved a little bit of money and having to shut down the power to the whole building, which we have to do over the weekend. So, having said that, any questions on the KCAB restoration?
You said you're on budget and on schedule, but now we're adding granite. That still falls within the budget?
That was planned up front.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
that was planned up front. And really the reason was, it long term, it holds up better.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it, in the long term, it saves money.
And thank you.
The digital controls that are now part of KCDC, what do they do in terms of life expectancy? What does the contractor say, either verbally or warrant, you know, what's the life expectancy, something like that?
The digital controls themselves, we've had Tracer Summit for how long now?
15, 20 years.
Yeah, and that was an analog system.
Just mechanical.
It's really software. It's really software on the computers that tell the units up on the roof, the actual heating and cooling units, going to cooling, going to heating, you know, bringing outside air, bringing more or less.
But you still have your relays and so forth that are responsible for
them. And those are all in the rooftop units. This is actually just the software and the wiring going up to those units.
Oh, when we say digital, that's what we're talking about.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, this is really now, it's all housed, it's in a computer. The Tracer Summit was also in the computer. But I think getting to your point is all of the relays and things in the units, those units are about 16 years old now.
Okay.
It's on the rooftop. So what this helps do, this Kane software is kind of the next generation of software from the Tracer Summit. It's digital, and it is more precise. It's tighter on controlling the heating and cooling, and therefore it saves money on doing that. Those units up on KCDC, they're about 16 years old. So those actual heating and cooling units on the roof, those will start to come into play in the next, their life expectancy is about 20 years.
Okay. But the electrical mechanical component of those relays and switches is up with the unit?
Yes.
Okay, that's my question.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything else for Frank? On that? Okay, Frank, continue.
Well, we go on to new business, and I think that goes over to Mike with acceptance of the grant.
I think the tower. The review and approve the resolution for the demolition. That's next.
Oh, okay. I've got an older version. I apologize. Oh, okay. I think it's split up. Okay. I had an older version. Yes. All right. Apologize. Actually, I'll turn it over to Carol for the resolution of the tower.
You have a resolution before you to approve the demolition of the old 60th Street Tower.
Does everybody have a resolution? I don't have one. So.
Oh, it was. Did you?
No, I never got it.
You never got it? It was emailed. Okay. Sorry.
I got copies.
Thank you.
The original.
I think there was an explanation, but yeah. We didn't have a.
I apologize.
The removal of the old tower falls under the statutory definition of a public work, and we started working on this. Frank Martinelli sent me the specifications for the bid a couple weeks ago and indicated that we would be working with Ralph Evans, who is the engineer who was working on the design of the new tower. And Mr. Evans has been intimately involved in this project. He's been on the tower, well, I don't think he's personally been on the tower, but his team has been on the tower, and he is of the opinion that the tower is in such bad shape that we are now at a point where it's become an emergency, that we need to get that tower down, and it needs to come down before winter. He feels that we would have to go through a rigorous pre-qualification process for anybody that we hire in order to determine whether they had the qualifications to get up there and remove that tower. In light of what he's saying, and he's the expert, we would like to have you declare this an emergency so that we can bypass the bid process. The company that has done the work on this tower for the last few years, and they've done the studies on it, is Wave Communications. And we have a quote from them, and we haven't negotiated any contract yet with them, but we would like to bypass the bid process and go right with Wave Communications so that we can get that tower down before we run into a storm that might take the tower down for us. You can see by the pictures how close it is to the apartment buildings. It's very close to 60th Street. We're going to have to shut down, or we may have to shut down 60th Street to bring it down and to bring in the crane. So by statute, for an emergency declaration, it has to be by a resolution of the county board.
So here's the problem, Carol. Have you talked to the city? I dealt with this for 4 years,
right,
to get this new tower up. The city on board with this?
We have talked to the department that works with the permitting, and that's as far as we've gone, because we need to have this resolution before we can really get Wave Communications is the one that's going to take it down, or whomever we would award it to. They have to apply for the permits.
Right. I'll say, here's the problem. I think you folks have waited a long time here. We stuck our necks out, and some people said cried wolf. We were talking about a quarter inch ice occurrence where the wind would take that tower down. It didn't happen. The city drained their feet. Nothing happened. We waited another year. We needed to wait another year. Now we've got this. So now we're in October. And what the staff here is telling this committee, you want us to do this. I'm all in favor of this. But it's not happening this year. You guys waited way too damn long. It's not going to happen. You've got experience, Frank, with the city. Why did you guys wait till October to bring this to this committee? That is ridiculous. I hate to say harsh words here tonight, but you know yourself, Frank, they're not going to okay anything this fall. We're looking at a winter, and people are going to say, shame on the county. We're letting that tower stick it. They're not going to let us take it down. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, you bring up valid points. The old tower, you know, when we worked out the safest path for this, and you're right, we could have started it earlier. I'll take responsibility for that. But the old tower, until we got everything over and until we got the microwave over,
August.
The last was August. Always the backup if something wouldn't work. So we couldn't take it down before that. I will say this. I did talk to the department that's in charge of it, too, for the permits. And actually, he was the contract with the city. The contract states for the new lease, for the new land, that the new tower, or the old tower, has to be down within 6 months of the new tower going up and operational. So you got valid points, but talking both to the permitting department and them pointing out to us that it's got to be down within 6 months.
Okay, so this guy that is the Give me the affidavit here. He's the guy. And then the company that has put up the new tower for us, when are they ready to be able to pop in here?
They can do it before the end of October.
But the city has to give us a permit.
Correct.
To take it down.
That's my understanding.
Question.
Yes.
Why,
Supervisor Poole, thank you so much for addressing me. It's the first time tonight. You won't do that again.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Why do we as the county need a permit from the city if this is our property?
It's on city property. It's in their jurisdiction. It's not in Paddock Lake. Yes, Supervisor Fritter.
Do we have to go through the process of the city council? Because they're meeting tonight on their budget, they're getting their budget this evening. And so if it's got to go through the whole process with them, it's probably going to take a couple meetings.
No, good point. According to the permit department, they said it's a matter of pulling the permit. Okay. It doesn't go through the committees.
It won't go through the city council?
Not according to the department that I talked to.
Yes, Supervisor Grady.
I'm not clear on the chronology here. When was it made apparent to us, the county, or to you in purchasing, that the condition of this quote-unquote now older tower was decrepit to the point of having to be made at an emergency basis? How recent is that?
I received the bid specs from Frank on August 29th, and it was probably maybe a week to 10 days after that I was able to have the conversation with Ralph Evans.
So we're talking the first week of September, approximately?
Yeah, or the second.
Now, see, this is kind of perplexes me because we're talking about a tower that's been there for a number of years. It's had structures on it which bear a certain amount of load and wind, capacity, all that type of thing. And we know under that circumstance, with a quarter inch of ice and the proper wind conditions, the tower may fail. It could be prone to failure. Okay. Now we've got the load bearing or the apparatus off there. The tower is still the same physical. I don't believe it's been compromised. Has it been compromised when they were taking the hardware off of it?
I'm not aware.
Yeah, let me, actually, it's a very good point. The way, this predates me back to Ray Arbit, but what they had to do was all of the antennas and everything on the old tower had to stay because they were transmitting and being used, and the new tower had to be built all the way up with new antennas because literally within half a day or something, we had to take the radios out of one and place them in the other and then be up and running. So you couldn't take down all the antennas and all the guide wires and stuff, plus they were aged. So like I said, it predates me, but so the old tower still has all the antennas.
Oh, it does. It's still equipped with the old infrastructure.
Correct. But that's all, if they climb the tower to take all that stuff up, it actually turns out to be easier just to climb the tower.
Take everything down.
Cut those. They put a, from what I understand, they put a crane on the top of it, and they have four guys on each leg. Simultaneously, they cut it, that section, bring it down, and it comes down in three or four sections, antennas and everything.
But again, I'm just surprised to see such a rush or such a hurry on this when it hadn't appeared that in the past. That's surprising to me. I don't know if any of the committee members share that or not.
Well, I think the rush was when we had the initial studies done saying it was dangerous. And luckily, nothing has happened. Now, we could end up looking like a bowl of fools here. We've got the new tower up, and we've even had people at meetings say, what was the big rush there? We've got the new tower up, and then we sit there and let it go through a winter, still up, when we said it was a danger. We said it was a danger. We stressed that it was a danger. And now we're waiting until October to say, oh, we want a permit to take it down now.
So the point you're making is it may not have to go through the common council for the city, maybe done administratively, just through city administration.
Okay.
Or from a time standpoint, that would be certainly better. Can you give us a price tag for what they want to take this thing down?
Well, to take down the tower only was $35,900, but this, we would also like them to take the fencing, the generator out of the building, then remove and dismantle the building, remove the foundation and then restore the site. So we're up to $62,650.
Well, I'm not going to speak for anybody but myself, but for the amount of investment we have in that area, the surrounding property, let alone the new tower, you know, all these different things, it would be just ridiculous not to get that thing out of it. That's my comment then.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
And that money was already budgeted.
Okay.
That money is in the budget for that. It was part of the project.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If we didn't declare the emergency, we went through the standard procedure, what would be the difference in time?
It would add at least another month on to pre-qualify the bidders, and then after that to do the bid process. Another several weeks, yes.
Okay. Because to Chairman's point is we all know how this, I think, been on this committee now 30 years, and I think we've been working on this the whole time, talking or working at it one way or another. I hope it can be done administratively through the city, but I don't have a lot of faith in the way that they've responded. But the money's been budgeted, so in your opinion, then, does it seem in line with what your expectations were?
Yes.
And if you had any conversations with anybody, not necessarily, does it seem to be out of the line for what you would expect?
No, in fact, it was in line or less.
Okay.
It was in line or less with the other conversations I've had. And just, if I may, I'll take full responsibility for this. But originally, when I got involved in the project, the whole, was that the spring ice storms were the big boogeyman for this tower, and those were kind of so. With getting this up and running, getting into the tower, I could have got the ball started faster, but it was the spring ice storms. Once we got Ralph Evans involved and he looked back at it, that's from what I understand, that's when he said, you know what, I guess that's where things changed from the spring ice storms to, you know what, now we're 4 years later in this whole process than the original engineering studies, and that's why he wanted to get things done sooner than later.
Now, I haven't gone out to the tower and looked at it or anything like that. In the grand scheme of how long the tower's been there versus when the first analysis or engineering study was done to now, they alarmed us of the tower, and so hence we started moving forward with getting it replaced. To now, it seems like we're in imminent danger of this potentially coming down. Has it degraded that quickly over a couple of years' time, or?
Me personally? Ralph has been doing this for 40-some years, and he was part of it. Ray Arbit had him back in 2010 as part of this. They had an engineering firm actually do the study, but Ralph Evan has been there every step of the way.
Okay.
Of the old tower all the way through the new tower. Now, having said that, like I said, taking over from Ray, the big thing was, okay, have it done before the spring ice storms. Now, we had Ralph come back in. Like I said, he's been there through the whole thing. He was there through the original engineering analysis, and he's been doing this for 40 years. I would have to say, we'd have to trust his analysis.
Okay. And he is a modicum of consistency throughout, which does...
Correct.
He's at least some faith that it isn't one firm's judgment over another. He's at least been through the whole process.
He didn't do the actual engineering study, structural study. That's not what he does. But he was there with that firm when they did the engineering study. He's intimately involved in it. Like I said, it was originally spring ice storms. Now we brought him back in, and now he's kind of moved the needle back to saying, you know what, if I'm going to be involved in this, I want it down sooner than later. So he's been around towers a lot. He's actually seen, I think it just, I'm going off of memory, he told me about a bad ice storm back in the 70s. Again, it was a spring ice storm that took down like two or three towers in the state. That was a spring ice storm, but now he's
probably the worst public relations mess we could have is we've been warned and we don't take action and nothing comes down on those condominiums. It's going to be a real mess. I hate to have to declare an emergency because it really does make us look foolish as a public, but I understand we have to go through these steps to get this expedited. On the other hand, if we kind of let the process flow along and something happens, it'll look much worse than just because we didn't get the ball rolling sooner. So based on what I've seen and what I've heard, I'd like to make a motion to approve the resolution as submitted.
Is there a second or any discussion? Boyd, you had your hand up.
The one thing I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, is add this to next week's agenda so we get an update of what's going on. Because from what I understand, it's going to finance tomorrow,
yes,
and then the board, and then so we'll be able to find out next Monday if it's going to...
Well, it's not even going to go to the board. If it, to go to,
does it, it doesn't...
It's on the...
Finance is going to meet tomorrow?
There's a special meeting tomorrow,
yeah,
before, right, the board.
Okay.
And we just get updated next Monday to find out, make sure that's just going to be the permit process instead of it having to go through council.
Right. It's disturbing. It's very disturbing that this has got to be declared an emergency because we declared it that 4 years ago. So, but yes, I'm certainly in agreement with this resolution. So, any other discussion? If not, all those in favor?
Mr. Chairman,
yes?
I have one question. This isn't a budget modification because we already budgeted for
it. It is not.
Okay.
Correct. Sorry, it's
already
been budgeted.
Yeah, all this is sole sourcing.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
All those in favor on the board?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So thank you. And tomorrow goes to finance, goes to the county board tomorrow evening.
The last time on the agenda is we had us project added to...
I've got the original?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to take it with me because I'll be at the meeting tomorrow night.
Okay. Go ahead, Frank.
The last item on my side is the medical examiner. We had a small project added, smaller project added. I put a picture on that the medical examiner had had forwarded to us. They're housed currently in one of their rooms where bodies are stored and transferred. They get messes like this from some of the bodies, and there is no sink in there to clean this up. And being with bodily fluids and health concerns, things like that, it was deemed important enough to put a sink in there. So that was a small project that we tackled and we started this week. So just want to make the committee aware. And that's it.
Thank you. The next time, we'll include the picture. Anything else, Frank?
No, that's it.
Mike?
First thing is to review and approve the resolution for the LED grant.
Yeah, this is a resolution to accept a grant from the Wisconsin Division of Energy Services for $10,000. We've already been approved to accept it upon everyone's approval. And we're going to use this to purchase some LED lights. We attached a copy of the lights we're going to buy. There's like $10,000 worth of lights. The typical payback on an LED light project is between 3 and 4 years. The lights typically last at least 10 years. So the more of these we can do, the better. We kindly ask for your approval on this, and we'll notify them it's been approved, and they'll give us a check for $10,000. The only other thing I want to point out is if we don't get all the projects done before the end of this year, we'll carry it over and complete them the first part of next year. It's free money. Our labor, though.
Any questions? Discussion? Yes, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, quick question. So the grant will primarily be used for bulb replacement bulbs and or any hardware related?
We're going to buy new lights and replace whatever the existing lights is with LED lights.
It should plug into the existing fixtures.
These are actually fixtures.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
they're old fixtures that come down and
be asking the finance guy about the sorry about that.
Sorry.
Not so much on fixtures, mostly the bulbs and
not bulbs, it's the entire fixture.
Oh, the entire fixture, right.
Yep, the goal here is to get all of our buildings so that we have the exterior lighting being LED completely. And we've got a big start on that right now. The 10,000 will finish up 4 buildings, and we can cross them off the list and say they're completely LED outside.
Okay, because, you know, obviously LEDs are not inexpensive, but
well, they're getting better.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm surprised how much it's changed. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Frederick. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Kalinske. Discussion? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Board?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
That's the original.
That's the original. Jim, did you get the original on the other one?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Do you know how everyone voted?
4-4, everyone was for it.
Yeah, I mean, there was no where to mark that on there, just so somebody's going to ask.
Yeah, we vote 4.
Okay.
Or aye. Aye, 4.
I said 4.
Thank you.
All right, anything else, Mike?
Just report on some projects.
Okay.
Brookside, coincidentally, is another LED project we're doing. Right now, it's the hallway can light replacement. That has finally gone through the bidding process. So find out something about that shortly. That's about 180 lights we're replacing in all the wings.
Right.
So we'll go from small panels to LEDs and start saving a lot of money. Courthouse projects, replace the fire alarm system. That's an obsolete system. They have to get replaced. $50,000 was originally budgeted for that. And when I came on board, I looked at it, reviewed it, and I changed the scope. What we needed to do was create a spec package because of that. So we put out feelers and took two people to create a spec package, and we selected David Hansen, local guy, to write a spec package for $11,000. He's basically going to come in and do everything to the current code. We eliminate a bunch of smoke detectors. We're way over smoke right now. We're going to change the devices to addressable devices, so when they're pulled, the panel will tell us where they are and what's wrong. So it'll bring everything up to date. Right now, we just can't get replacement parts for it, and if it would go down, we're in trouble. So we put, I think, $110,000 in the budget for next year for this project. So right now, we'll get the spec package squared away, and we'll be all set to go. So that's the fire alarm system at the courthouse. Questions? Yes?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Is that a full one fell swoop, it's done, or is it phases?
No.
Okay. Within, you know, a certain time frame.
All right. Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next project is the resurfacing of the marble floors at the courthouse. Finally, we can say we're done. It took about 468 man hours to do it, but they look unbelievable. So take a look if you can see the ultra wet glass look anywhere you look at them. We had a contractor bid $75,000 to do them, and we did it for about $17,300. With materials and labor, and it was all overtime dollars too, so that's pretty impressive. Next project in the detention center, we're replacing the slider doors. They started on this on the 29th, and I think they've got 2 doors done now, 4 doors to go, and they expect to be done by the 15th. Questions on that? Countywide projects, our HVAC position, they ran an ad on the 28th. Got a few applications for that. Got custodial positions that are open, part-time one at Brookside, and we took applications for that. Ad was run on the 29th, and we're going to fill that hopefully and then create a hiring list from those applications. Kemper Shoreline, we finished up the last phase this year, and we're going to wait till spring to start the third phase. So there'll be 2 more phases next year, and it should be done. So.
Looks very nice, too. Everything has been done.
Yep. It's a lot different.
Yep.
That's all I have.
Thank you, buddy. Anything else for Mike? Any questions? Okay, then we'll move on to next week. Everyone knows we're going to have our, naturally, tomorrow night you're going to receive the budget from the county executive. We're going to have our meeting next Monday right here to hopefully approve. And I just want to remind everyone, you're going to have a week here. If you have any questions, anything, call Jim. Any questions that Jim can't handle, call Al or Dave. Most everything can be handled if you have big questions before next Monday evening. And Monday evening, we will go through it specifically, any questions, any ideas, any thoughts anyone has. But it would help if you have anything big, just do it ahead of time. It's so simple to do. There's no need to wait until next Monday. If something flies out at you, do it ahead of time. It'll help us all. And again, Jim will be here to answer any questions and should be able to take care of anything that anybody has. Yes, Jim?
If you guys want to call me on my cell phone, I don't care what time you call me, because everyone's working and stuff. My number is 515-1294.
That's tomorrow you'll get your budget. And that night, it's never easy to... You won't have any questions that night, but if you start going through it, good time to have... But 6 days, so we don't have any surprises next Monday.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
What type of directions the county executive given the department heads for budget? Is he saying, this type of range, that type of range? What's the word?
Well, the guidance that they got from the county board, I think, was just 2.5?
2.5.
Yes. Right, that's overall.
That's about what things are looking at.
Type thing.
Yep.
My instructions are try to keep it flat, but don't without reducing any services.
We'll find out tomorrow night.
Right.
So that's happening tomorrow night, and then we'll go through the finance committee on the 23rd. But you, as a county board supervisor, especially new ones, will have. A week from tonight, you'll have the 23rd, and then you'll have the confirmation of the budget by the county board. They have three times to vote for or against items. The most annoying thing is for someone to wait till that last night to ask a stupid question. If you have a good question, or what someone else might deem a stupid question, it's good to do it early. Helps everybody. So I've given that advice. I shouldn't say stupid. I've given that advice to county board supervisors all along. No question is stupid. But grandstanding isn't looked upon nicely by anybody. And very few people will give you that advice. I will. Yes, Frank.
I don't want to interrupt him. I just want to add something else. I think it got a little lost in discussion.
Go ahead.
I said I'll take full responsibility for anything that delays with this. But originally with the tower, it was, we always had the idea it had to come down before the spring ice storms.
Right.
So I thought, and I might have misjudged, I thought we had time. It's when we brought Ralph Evans back in, because taking down a tower is no small matter. We wanted to make sure we got the specs correct and we got things done, because we didn't need this thing. If we missed something, that's when he reevaluated it and looked back and said, we can't wait for spring. So, like I said, I'll take responsibility, but that's really what kind of shifted this timeline forward, and he was so insistent, and as Carol can attest to, that's what kind of brought this to the this point.
Oh, well, Frank, to be brutally honest, I'm shocked that you guys didn't know that this was an emergency. So we as a board knew this. We were told this, and we moved it forward 4 years ago, 3 years ago. So for our staff not to know it was an emergency, and for this Mr. Evans to have to tell people it was an emergency, is shocking. So I realize that you didn't know, and all along the city didn't know, the county executive didn't know, no one knew. We all knew, and we voted for this for years and pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. So definitely no blame being put on you at all, Frank, but as it went last spring through the summer for us waiting for the city to okay things, and last winter, and when Ray Everett was still here, he and I going, oh Jesus, we're not getting it done this winter, for us to be sitting here in October signing a thing for an emergency is shocking, and I prefer not to talk about it. And I'm assuming we go back, Mr. Skliski said he's been here 3 years and was one of the first items on his agenda, and I'm sure he is quite shocked also, anyone that's been involved in this, that we're doing this evening. So to not go any stronger than that, anybody that knows me would say they'd be quite surprised. We'll just leave it at that. Anybody have anything else this evening?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
we're a good day,
I'm taking it all, and I'll take care of it in my hot little hand.
You gotta ask me something once in a while.
Okay.
Make something up. It's just